extend a very warm welcome to everyone on this beautiful day that God has given us. It is good to be together, good to see each and every one of you, and we are so very thankful. It's an awesome privilege that God has blessed us with to be able to come and praise His name and magnify Him, give honor to Him, and we pray that that is what we have done this morning. We want to say to you before we begin that today will be a little different than our normal service. This is, for this local congregation, a significant day and a very good day. For it is a day in which we install deacons here to work with this local group of people, and an occasion that we are so thankful for. We praise God and thank God for this opportunity. We want to say some things about that, and we'll give the structure for our lesson here in just a few minutes. What we want to do as the people of God in this place is always to do things according to the pattern of His will, to open up the pages of the New Testament and to see what it is that God would have us to do by way of reading, by way of looking into the word that He delivered by the apostles, the Holy Spirit-guided word, and understand what He would have us to do in worship, in the organization of the church, the things that this church does, to always please Him and to always have the authority of the Scriptures for the things that we do. We turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1 in light of that desire, and we see there in that passage, and we'll put some of these passages up on the screen this morning. When Paul wrote to the brethren in Philippi, he said this. He said, "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who were in Philippi." That is, he was addressing the local church as a whole as he writes this letter to them. But then he specifies two particular groups of people within that group of saints. And he says, with the bishops and deacons. We recognize that the Lord established a pattern for the organization of the local church. The local church would be organized with bishops. That is, another word for that would be elders or overseers. And then also deacons. And the Lord provided for us this example, along with some very specific things that a man that would serve in that capacity, qualities that he would have. And we want to look at that in just a few minutes again. This man that would be a deacon would be one that would possess these specific qualities, and I might say along with his wife, as we see in 1 Timothy 3, that he might serve in this capacity. And I want to emphasize the word serve, because that's what a deacon does. In fact, as we talked about in a previous lesson, that's what the very word deacon means. Diakonos in the Scripture carries the idea of a servant. And that word is used in a lot of different ways in the New Testament, of various kinds of servants. But this servant that we're thinking about today is a very specific kind of servant. We want to all serve. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 22, ultimately, folks, every single one of us in this body of people here needs to be a servant. And as we said before in our previous lesson, needs to be a deacon in the general sense of that term, diakonos, that we serve God and we serve one another. And that idea is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 22. Folks, God's children are not to be spoiled brats. That is not designating the kind of people that we are, where we are concerned about ourselves, where we are being served rather than serving. And unfortunately, I have seen God's people act in that way, that we would not be concerned about others as much as we would ourselves. But we all need to give of ourselves and to do our part in an effort to do what this passage of Scripture says. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Ultimately, what all of our jobs are to do is to help this body of people to be edified, to grow, to build one another up. That's the job of every single one of us that's here. But that is with a view, folks, that last verse is a very meaningful verse, that we would build that up with a view to completion worthy of its most important inhabitant. Are we doing that? Does that describe our lives and our work here together? That we are servants of that kind. That we would build up with a view to the completion of that which is worthy of the Spirit of God. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. And that is why all of us act the way we do the things that we do, and react the way that we do, because we have that brotherly love. Over in Matthew chapter 20, you know, when we think about service and we think about servants, Jesus spoke very often about those things. And we find in Matthew chapter 20 a context where there was a discussion about greatness in the kingdom. And greatness in the kingdom related to two particular individuals in this text, James and John. They desired to have a place with the Lord, which certainly we all do. We all want to have a place with the Lord. We all want to enjoy the presence of the Lord. But these two men sought a special place. And in some sense, I think that was to be commended. They wanted to be, as we said, close to the Lord, involved. It was just their thought process in that, perhaps, that was not right. But in this context, they are directed to do what Jesus did, and to be like Jesus, and to turn away from the concept of a high-handed, authoritarian kind of leadership. That was not to be the way that they would rule. In fact, as you come to verse 25 here in Matthew chapter 20, it says that Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet, it shall not be so among you. That was not to be the approach that they would have in terms of their leadership, in terms of ruling, that they would have that kind of attitude. That was not at all the way that the kingdom would be led. In fact, notice what verse 26 through verse 28 here says. He says, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. That is why Jesus Christ existed. He came to serve. That's what he was all about, was serving mankind, even to the point of death, that he would serve in that way. And he calls upon us to be of the same character, to be servants, to be slaves of others, to serve as he served. And of course, in every way, as always is the case, Jesus is the pattern for us. In John chapter 13, we think again about things that Jesus did and the directions that he gave. And he exemplified that kind of leadership. Jesus Christ did not send mercenaries to do his work. He didn't pay people. He didn't have those that would be sent on his behalf and sacrifice themselves. He didn't ask armies to go out and fight his battles for him. He didn't hire conscripts and pawn off that on someone else. He goes himself. He serves himself. He washes people's feet. He is the, as Jim McGuigan put it, the God of the towel, which I like that expression. What kind of servants are you? Is this a congregation that desires to serve one another? I certainly hope and pray that that is what we are and what we will become as we continue to grow in faith and in knowledge. In John 13 and beginning in verse 13 here, John 13 and verse 13, he says, "You call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." That's the argument from the greater to the lesser. If the Lord, who is so much higher and so much greater, and who is perfect in every way and higher than the heavens, would serve. If he would do that, then surely we can do that and should do that. And he says in verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." We all must be washers of people's feet. To get down on our hands and knees for other people. To serve. That's the example that Jesus gave. And we ought to be a room full of servants and a room full of a diakonos kind of people. In Acts chapter 6, there is a specific situation that was a need in a local congregation there, where there were Grecian widows that were being neglected, who needed to be taken care of. And there are instructions given by the apostles on that occasion to choose from among the congregation, and there was a specific number of men, 7 men that would be appointed to that work. There was a specific need involved. There was a specific number of men that were needed in order to fill that need. Now, these men were not called deacons in a specific sense, but the role that they have there is very similar to that idea of what a deacon would do. But they were called upon to be over the work that needed to be done. And it says here in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And then you see in verse 5 and verse 6, those men being chosen, specified there in that place. And it says that then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. I don't think there's any mistake there that those two things are connected. That here is an occasion when men are serving, men are called upon to serve. The congregation there is growing. There are apostles. There are men that are chosen, specifically given to this work. And that the word of God spread. That is what we pray for. No doubt these men were responsible men. They were conscientious men. They were certainly full of the Spirit. And they were hardworking. And they were wise. The Lord wants servants. And these men that will be appointed today, there are 5 of them that are chosen in a very specific way to serve this local congregation, have expressed a desire to serve the Lord in this capacity and to serve this congregation in this capacity as well. They are men that have been observed as being servants. They are men that have been tested. And they do have the desire to do the work. And we're so thankful for that spirit. And that's the spirit that will help this congregation to be built up into what ought to be the dwelling place of God Himself. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have those qualifications that are mentioned to us, and I want to read this passage. And after we read this passage, Darren is going to come and say a few words about these men, and then that will be followed after that by Terry leading us in a word of prayer on behalf of those men and on our behalf as we begin our work together. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8 through 13 delineates the qualities of the man and his wife that a deacon would need to possess. Paul says here, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
This is absolutely a wonderful day. We always strive to do things the way that God would have us to do, as God has told us to do in His Word, to be organized as God would have us to be, and we're excited to be able to say this morning that again, after a couple of years of not having elders and deacons, that we are again organized as God would have us to be. And that is something for which we as elders rejoice, and I think we as a congregation rejoice as well. Yeah. I just want to say a couple of things before I talk about each one of these gentlemen individually. And I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again, because it is something that we are very proud of. We are so proud of this congregation, for all the members that are here, for everyone that works so diligently to make this congregation what it is, to grow and to spread. And we are growing, and we are spreading the word, I think, as God would have us to do. And we need to do that more and better. And I think we will definitely do that as we continue to pursue everything that God wants us to do. As we began the process of trying to find deacons, we asked the congregation to submit names of men that had the confidence of the congregation to do the work of service that Jeb has just talked about. And we were not surprised by the results, but we were very proud and very pleased. There were more than 30 men in this congregation whose names were put forward to us to consider for deacons. And that speaks volumes. Just by itself, that speaks volumes to the quality of men that we have in this congregation and the quality of their wives. And it's something that we were very proud of. It also made our job actually rather difficult. We definitely don't need 30 deacons in this congregation, at least not yet. Hopefully as we grow and as we do the things that God wants us to do, we will, maybe we'll get close. We will end up with a new building and be 10 times bigger than we are now. In the selection process, we looked at the list that was given to us, and we had to kind of take a look at the things that were needed. Of course, in Acts chapter 6, as Jeb mentioned this morning, there was a very specific need, and the congregation here has very specific needs. So we needed to take a look at what the needs are of this congregation and assign men to be able to help us with those tasks. And that's what we did. And as Jeb mentioned, there are five. There are five gentlemen who will be installed this morning as deacons. And we certainly do not expect that this will be the end of that, as I just mentioned. Right? As we grow and as things become apparent that we need additional help with, we will be constantly looking for opportunities to add men to this list. But at the end of the day, we arrived at five gentlemen's names, and we placed them before you as a congregation, not expecting to have any objections, but wanting to take care of that responsibility, just to ensure that this list of men was in the right standing with everybody in the congregation, and of course they were. So I will, at this point, read off those five gentlemen's names, and if they would, I'll just ask them to stand and be recognized. And I'm doing this mostly because as we've grown, there are so many new people in our congregation, and I want to make sure that everybody knows who these men are. So I'll just ask them to stand just real briefly as I read their names. The five men are Mark Evra, Twain Wilkins, who is standing in the back, Richard Hagen, Dan Hopkins, who is also standing in the back, and Brad McClellan. Thank you, gentlemen. One of the things that you'll notice about all of these men is that they have the qualities, I think, that Jeb just talked about in abundance, and their wives as well. Each one of them has a love for God and a love for every member of this congregation, and they have a willingness to serve, and not just a willingness, but a desire to serve. And this is something that I think we see in everybody that's here. I think Jeb mentioned that this morning, is we see the desire to serve from so many people in this congregation. There's an attitude in these men that says, here am I, send me. There's an attitude that serves without need for recognition or reward. There's a strong knowledge of the Word of God and a demonstration of strong and very dedicated families. Mark Everett has been here for a number of years, he and his family. From day one, this family has effectively opened up their lives and their home to anybody and everybody. They've gone well above and beyond the call of duty, if you will. Getting to know as many people as possible, inviting people into their homes, working with people individually, not only financially, but spiritually and in every way that they possibly could help. They've done that. Mark and Christine have been consistent and a very positive influence in the congregation. Twain Wilkins, we know Twain has been a fixture with Denise in this community for many, many years. Twain has always demonstrated a very strong desire to serve this congregation. He was he and Denise understand the Bible very, very well. As we'll talk about in a little bit, Denise has a ladies' Bible class coming up. Just countless things that the Wilkins have done in this congregation to do more, to continue to try and help wherever they possibly can. Of course, Twain never gets to sit down as he continues to ensure that we can worship in a secure and a safe environment. Richard Hagen, of course, we know Richard for many, many years. He used to be an elder in our congregation. Richard and Marilyn, of course, being foundation would probably be the wrong word, but have been around for so many years and understand this congregation and what it needs so well. Richard having been in a position to help us run the finances of this organization, this church, this congregation for many, many years and understands it very, very well. Just a constant force and a constant attitude of service from Richard and Marilyn. Dan Hopkins, Dan, if anyone can exemplify quiet service, I think Dan and Diane would be able to do that. Things just get done, and you never see them until they're already there, and it's brilliant. All of the audiovisual things that we have and so many other things, Dan and Diane have done a fabulous job and have done so just so quietly and so consistently, and we appreciate that. Very, very well. And of course, Brad McClellan and Lindsay and their family, been in this congregation for many, many years. Of course, Frank was one of our elders here. And, you know, and Brad and Lindsay just work tirelessly, and it's never enough. It's never enough for that family. There's always something else to be done. There's always some more work to be done, and they are continuously asking and wanting to do more. And this is the kind of service that we need, that Jeb just talked about in his sermon. And I think again, and you know, this is kind of a place where we single out individuals, but it is not intended to be so, right? This is an opportunity to identify individuals that can help the elders to do the things that need to be done here. But it doesn't stop with these five men. Of course, each and every one of us needs to look to these gentlemen to provide help to them. As we grow, this congregation is actually quite large, and there are so many things that still need to be done. Every time the elders meet, we find more and more things that we want to do to help this congregation spiritually, and that we want to help the congregation grow. These men will help us with that, and so will each and every one of you. So as we now have deacons, you know, we would request that you reach out to each one of these gentlemen and just say, how can I help? Where can I be of service? Because I guarantee you there will be plenty of places. As we go forward in the coming weeks, the elders will be assigning duties to each of these men, and we'll publish them so that everyone is aware. Again, please be looking for opportunities to lend a hand and to reach out and help. And most of all, just let's pray. Let's pray for this congregation. Again, we have enjoyed such a period of growth and prosperity, and there's so much love and so much service and so many amazing things that are happening in this congregation. It just, it should make you proud. Let's keep those things going. Let's continue to pray for these deacons and for the elders and for each and every one of us as we go forward. Terry, I'll ask if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Please join me in prayer. Our God and our Father, we come to you now in thankful hearts. We're thankful that we're able to gather here as a congregation, and that we have so many that are willing to serve you, walk in your ways, and the sacrifice of their time and their efforts in order to help to grow the kingdom in this place. Father, we're thankful that we've had so many men and families who are willing to serve. And we pray now for these five men who have stepped forward and we've asked to serve in the role of deacon in this congregation. We pray that you'll give them strength, give them courage, give them wisdom as they deal with the physical things of this congregation. And we're thankful for have the spirit of so many people here who will walk with them and help them as they are asked. Father, please be an encouragement to these men and their families. Help them to have the desire to serve and the willingness to do the things that are necessary in order to keep this group functioning in a fine order. Father, your word gives us a outline for how the local church is to be organized with elders and deacons. And now, with the installation of these deacons, we've once again restored this church to the pattern to which you have commanded it to be. We're indeed thankful for that opportunity, for your word, and we pray that we will live out in this congregation the things that you would have a local church to do, to serve its members, to serve the community, and to serve, most of all, to serve you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for this day and for all the people here. Thank you for your Savior. And may we all serve him in a way that's in keeping with your will. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We want to thank our visitors for your understanding and patience with more of a local congregation kind of meeting this morning. But we hope and pray that as we do that you appreciate our desire to be organized in the way that the Lord would have us and to do the things that He has directed us. When we think about these men, may we pray for their families, for them, their wives, and their children. We know these brothers can be of great service and help to this local group of people. May these men who have agreed to the responsibility, and as the congregation has deemed you qualified to take on the role and have entrusted that role to you, may you do that as faithful stewards and with all of your might, cheerfully and carefully and conscientiously. And we consider you to be formally appointed from this day forward. Perhaps you're here this morning and you are not a member of the body of Christ. I'll tell you, there's no greater relationship than to be a part of God's family, to be a child of God and enjoy the blessings that we do as His children, and have the relationship we do with others, which is so precious to us and means so much to us as our brothers and sisters in Christ. And perhaps the greatest act of service that ever was made through Jesus Christ, who gave Himself, as we read earlier, as a ransom for many, that has been ineffective in your life, that you haven't taken advantage of that gift and of that grace that He has bestowed upon us. We would just have you know that our heart's desire this morning is that you would be a part of that body and to enjoy that great blessing. If there is someone here today that needs to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be added to the body of Christ and to be His child, we would extend now the invitation to you to take advantage of this opportunity. We don't have guaranteed another moment. This may be our last day to do that. And if you've been thinking about that, or you know what you need to do, or you desire to know what you need to do to become a Christian, and to know more about that, we'd love to talk with you about that at any time. If we can help you in any way this morning, won't you come while we stand?